This is Publishing Talks, a podcast about books, the publishing industry, and writers. I'm David Wilk, your host, and today I'm talking to Dan Blank. He is the eponymous founder and owner of a book consultancy or author consultancy business called We Grow Media, but he's pretty well known as just Dan Blank. How are you, Dan?
Very good, thank you.
Thanks for doing this. I know you're busy and there's lots of things going on, and you have lots of clients, evidently. I noticed when looking at your website that you have only one opening for an author to work with. Maybe you could talk a little bit. We've talked before a number of times and once before for Publishing Talks, but that was a number of years ago. And maybe you could just talk a little bit about what your current practice is as a consultant and advisor to writers.
Yeah, I always think about it where there are people that help writers write a better book, and there are people that help them publish that book, whether it's traditional or independent or something in between. And the thing that I've always come in with is, how do you connect that book to a reader? And how can, as an author, you live a life as an author and a writer that feels fulfilling? So in the work that I do, it's really trying to solve that issue of, how can you create a meaningful connection between sharing your book with a reader and with sharing your life as an author with readers and communities that really care about what you write about, whether that's fiction or memoir or nonfiction? I think if we weren't in the publishing space, you would call this strictly like branding and marketing. But what I like about the work that I do is I work directly with the author, and there's no one that cares more about the creative vision than that writer. And a lot of it, I think, more and more is about this idea of, how do you do this not just in an effective way, effectively marketing a book, effectively building a platform? How do you do it in a way that feels like a meaningful connection with people? Because I'm going on about 9 years with this company. And when you look at something like social media, and I think you know this, it's gone through such an evolution where now it's so busy. It's so easy to feel like there's nothing but people spamming and people doing all these marketing trends, and it no longer feels effective or fulfilling. So that's really the broad area that I really try to work with writers on.
Well, and I think I've been noticing what you're doing, and I think it's really important to emphasize that kind of authenticity and meaningfulness, because I think a lot of writers were swept up in the notionality that online media, social media in particular, would be really powerful for them in helping them to connect to readers. But no one really thought that through. Well, no, I don't want to say no one, but often people didn't think that through and try to figure out, what would that really mean? And how would it work for a creative person who's mostly thinking internally and not thinking externally, to suddenly switch from being an internal, thoughtful, self-reflective writer? Someone, it's the writer's job exists between themselves and the word on the page or the word on the screen, and then to take that and turn a switch to make them public, in a lot of ways, has always felt false, and for some writers, impossible. So I think a lot of what you do is, kind of coaching people to understand what that can mean. But I think it puts you in a position of understanding deeply how to reconcile those two different elements of being a writer.
Yeah, it's funny. I grew up as an artist. I was the artist in my family, and that was my whole first 20 years was writing and art, all different, photography, the whole thing. I married an artist. Most of my friends have been artists. And right now I rent out a private studio in New Jersey, and behind me is a wall of books of biographies and art books. In front of me are all these images of writers and artists who inspire me. Their story inspires me. And I think that what I look at is, when you find a writer who is successful, they really exist within a community of people. They have people that they are quote unquote public with, but it's not public on a stage. It is like a salon, or it is colleagues or friends or something like that. And I think that's the middle ground that a lot of people don't see. They see the idea of, well, I've been, as you said, very internal in creating this. Now I've got to go and present myself on Twitter and go viral and that all, you know, that sort of thing, which it feels like a big jump. And it also feels terrifying because we don't understand the tools. It feels like going from being hidden to being public. I think there's so much in the middle there. And just studying the creative process, working with literally thousands of writers, and then my own experience just of, you know, doing creative work, you start kind of piecing together, what does it mean to develop that creative community, develop that platform, when you're not just waiting for a book launch, when you're not flicking a switch of going from I'm not marketing to I am marketing.
Well, and are you saying, I may be putting words in your mouth, but are you thinking that it must be, you can't just think of it as marketing as a task. It has to be a part of your process.
Right. I think that when you segment it to just before a book launch, when you segment it out as a task that will be done after you've written and after you've published, you're kind of dooming yourself for failure in some ways. You're making it this chore. You're only looking at the audience in terms of an audience to be marketed to. You're at your moment of the biggest panic because you've spent months or years creating this and publishing it, and now you desperately want it to work. And what I find when I talk to authors who, I don't want to say are professional, but people who are just dedicated to this is their life, whether it's a hobby or a full-time profession, you realize that throughout the year, they engage with people, they talk to people, they reach out, they show up, they have conversations. I don't mean that in a big fancy way. I mean that in a very normal way. And what I find is that if you first try to learn how to talk about your book right before a publication, you're going to get it wrong. You're going to make a lot of assumptions. You're never going to have time to course correct. Whereas if you have learned how to engage with people and have a community and tested these things out, what you find by the time you actually care enough to be in front of an audience or publishing it, you find you have a very natural way of talking about your book, of understanding the readers, of having a conversation around it in a way that doesn't feel like spamminess or sales. It feels like you're truly engaging in why you love this work and why you know other people will engage with it.
So do you feel, I guess there are a couple of questions I wanted to ask you about that based on listening to what you're saying. One would be, do you find that publishers could benefit from that understanding as well as authors? In other words, it feels like what happens in some situations, I don't want to cast you can't really generalize too much, but that it's publishers have lots of books to publish almost always. For an author, it's only that one book that they care about, but publishers are in business and they have many books. So there's a tendency to look at the book as a product and to think of that platform mechanistically and to say to the author, what have you done? What are you doing? Or when will you launch your social media? They know that what you're saying is true. I think they understand that marketing is not simply a task that you turn on just before the book is published, but they're probably not in a position to teach authors what you're able to do. And I'm just kind of curious to know, do you have conversations with publishers about these issues? Or when you talk to your author clients, do they report back that tension maybe or that difficulty with their publishers?
It's a really good question. So what I find is often I'm brought in to work with an author even when they have a traditional publisher. So they have a marketing team, they have an editor, they have a publicist. And I'm brought in because usually it's an author who is, not always by any stretch, but who is more experienced, where they know and they have a lot of empathy for the fact that what you just said, the team at the publisher is very busy. There's a lot they're doing each season. So what we try to do is, they're not going to be there to hold the hand of the author. So that is more the role I have, where I'm there from way before a publication. I'm there every day and I'm there after it. So I'm always coordinating between that. And the idea here is that you want the publisher to do a few things that they can do really, really well and allow the other stuff around messaging and, you know, it's always coordinating with the publisher, but have another resource to work with the author so they don't feel like they're either being left out to dry or that they're asking really for too many resources from the publisher for the reasons you said. These marketing teams of publishers are often very small. They're working on many books at once, and the window for when they can work on them is rather short. And I say that not as a criticism, but with total empathy. I think that they have often done, I mean, I talked to a lot of people in publishing and a lot of writers, so I get a lot of the back, you know, the back end stories that you kind of often can't share publicly. Publishers really work hard to try to provide resources like an author portal or educational resources. That I find tends to also be sometimes a challenge for writers, because nowadays, because of podcasts and blogging and social media and author portals, there's so much information. And some of it is conflicting. Some of it is told better than others. Some of it is a little outdated. Some of it, it just ends up confusing authors, not because any of it is bad. It's because there's so much of it. And there's no one guiding them. There's no one entity that is able to really spend the time to do that. And I think that's part of the role that me or someone like me would present, is that idea of having a guide, of having that experience across, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times of going through that. And I think you're right. It is a very big challenge for publishers and people working within publishing to navigate it, because they're even the flip side of it too. An author publishing in 1968 had a little bit of information. Nowadays, authors come in where they could have read one of 1,000 different blog posts today. They could be saying, what about this? Or what about that? Or I just heard this story. It's very difficult to manage that kind of information flow as well.
Oh, no, I think that's right. I think information overload, and also it, what you alluded to earlier, and I think this is really significant, is the rapidity of change in the landscape in general, media of all kinds, but in particular, the ways that social media have changed as more and more people are using them, as more and more businesses and other entities are using them as their principal point of contact between themselves and their audiences. I think it has made it more difficult for authors and maybe other kinds of artists, because your voices are unique and rich and powerful and sometimes don't respond well to the reductiveness of social media. And, you know, I know it's a common criticism that social media is flighty, fleeting, and kind of shallow. I think it is all those things. It's also very powerful. But I think there's a conflict between the artist's ideas about communication and social media as a format in general. So that seems like part of the problem.
Yeah, it's funny. Something I'm working on for you know, coming up soon is this idea of, you know, what does an author platform and a book marketing plan look like without social media? Because when I look at these things, I feel that there's a huge gap where people default to social media. They default right away to, what do we do on Twitter? What do we do on Facebook? And I think that there is so much blue ocean, so much opportunity in developing a network of colleagues, of picking up the phone, of emailing someone, of meeting with someone. And it sounds small when I say it like that. It sounds like, well, great, now you're limiting yourself to the 20 people you can do that with in a month. But I'm seeing it as the basis of a much more powerful system, where social media comes into it, but not as the primary driver. It's as a secondary channel where you're able to research and you're able to connect, but the real power is happening via more one-on-one connections and deeper connections. And I look at this in a lot of ways as well, where I live in a lovely small town, and there are thousands of lovely small towns in the area I live in. I'm in New Jersey, the Northeast. And what you see is you'll have like a Facebook group for the town, which is wonderful and which is moderated really well. And you watch how quickly things turn into fights in that otherwise wonderful resource. And then you close the web browser, you walk outside, and I do not see people fighting in the street. I see people coordinating, talking. You see a community. And I think that more and more we're seeing the limits of social media as the be-all, end-all. And I think when you kind of stop thinking of it that way, some much more interesting marketing strategies come up. And I think also a more fulfilling sense of what it means to be a writer who can market their work comes up as well.
Yeah, I think that's an important point. It kind of makes me think of the you know, what you might observe as the reaction to the commoditization of culture is to restore a kind of classic craftsmanship or to an experience, so that, you know, the local brewery rises up in the face of mass beer, or, you know, artisanal pickle makers are created, you know, places like Brooklyn or Hudson, New York, you know, where people congregate. And I think there is that idea of kind of anti-mass culture. And by definition, you know, we're living in it's always contradictory. You know, writers are individual artists, but they need to have audiences of readers, more than one person. So they need to make connections. And I think you're right that it's very likely more realistic for a writer to connect in close, deeper ways as a primary building block of the element of reaching out to readers.
Well, it's funny. One thing I think a lot about is, say, the writer often go from the idea of, well, I'm not sure how to be public, but I'll do the social media, all of that. So all of a sudden they're talking to a universe. And I always think of this where when I go to like a conference and there's like a pitch slam or a conference in general, and you say, oh, hey, you're here, you're a writer, tell me what you write. And it's like they've never talked to another human being about it. And they kind of fumble through the explanation of either the book they're working on or the type of writing they do or what they like to write. And I feel like, wow, like if you could just get that kind of right with one person, then suddenly you know how to talk about not just what you write in an engaging way, which is a big feat, but talking about why you write. You're able to ask questions of other people. You're able to, you know, something marketers do really well is what marketers know is that, you know, on the surface, no one wants to talk about whatever product you're selling, but they want to talk about this other thing. And if you're really good, you understand how to ask questions and how to make a connection between what people know they want to talk about and this other thing that you'd like for them to be interested in. And all of that is about empathy. It's about communication. It's about really the human connection to things. It's not about finding the secret button in Twitter or the secret thing in Amazon that no one else has discovered yet.
Well, no, what you're talking about, though, is the notion that you're not, when you're marketing, you're not trying to be a seller of yourself. What you're trying to do is find the touch points in the person or people that you're talking to see where points of contiguousness exist, where I, you know, the stuff that I'm interested in connects to the stuff that you're interested in, so we can have a conversation.
Yeah. And I think the output does go to all the normal things. Like I've got clients I'm running Facebook ad campaigns for, and we're doing whole content strategy for Twitter, and we're, you know, doing book launch marketing plans. So there is the output of that that comes into the very typical things that any publisher, any author would want, which is we want a Facebook presence, or we want, you know, this kind of marketing timeline. It has these milestones. But I think that you start with that idea of the reader and with the idea of trust and communication.
So do you think when you think about writers and writing and publishing and reading, do you have a sense that from your perspective, because you have so much contact with so many different people, of how this is evolving, or that there is an evolution? Do you feel like we're going in a direction, or do you feel like it's more we're surfing on continuing waves that, you know, the waves may change, they might be big, it might be small, it could be a storm, it could be calm, or do you feel like it's more like we're going someplace?
I mean, to me, it's getting more human. You have a lot more opportunity now than you ever had before. And I think a lot of people position that as a negative because it means you also have more responsibility now than you've had before. So it's this idea that you can say, oh, I don't really know anything about social media. I just want to write. But I can show you the social media profiles of wonderful writers who know how, who have developed a voice. And they know how to do that. So when I think of what this means for readers and for writers, it blows my mind. So I run a mastermind group for writers, and something I'll have people do is say, you know, tell me about some people who are, you know, alive right now, who are not like celebrity level, like Oprah, who really inspire you. And then I have them reach out to these people, just an email. It is shocking that not only can you do that, but you will often get a response quickly from people. And we go through this again and again with people like, oh, I feel so silly. I can't email them. And you're like, oh, let's just do this. And we craft a really honest email. You know, your book really affected me and this is what it did. I just want to say thank you for that. And they'll get an email back in a day and it will say, thank you for that note. It totally made my day. And that's what I think about when I think about where we're going with authors, with readers, with publishers, is there's such access. There is such opportunity now where you can share your work. You can connect with people. You can reach out to people who inspire you if you want to do that work. And it is work. So some people shy away from it or it feels foreign to them, so they shy away. And I understand that. But to me, I just wonder at the incredible opportunity that a writer today has that a writer in 1998 or 1978 never even could have dreamed about.
That's true. Although I will say from my personal experience, when I was young and I was a kind of, I was writing and I wanted to meet and kind of interact with people who I thought were really amazing, I reached out to them and shocked myself to learn that people would actually talk to me.
Love
and,
it.
And so I think that it is true. Now, it's not true of everyone. You can't just write cold letters out to everyone on earth and say, I love your work. Will you just have a conversation with me? But I think that you're right. I think that we actually, and I would say this is true for, I'm sure you've had people come reach out to you and say, I really like your work. Could you just, you know, tell me a story or something about, not hire you, but just, yep, you know, kind of have that conversation about something that's important to them. And I think that it is really a sign of how much we need human contact, and how, I mean, this is my own bias, but I think that the online world, the hyper online world, does have a tendency to starve us of that deeper human contact that we need.
Yeah, it's funny. I stopped teaching online courses about 3 years back and I switched over to a mastermind. And one of the things this does is it, you know, we have these little groups of 10 writers and it's this idea of having a creative community. And I think that exactly to the point you just said, a lot of us feel like we're connected because of Facebook or Twitter or Instagram because we see more than we ever had. It feels social. Yet we don't actually have a community. We don't actually have collaborators because it's in this bigger space. And I think that however you do it, of having colleagues who are writers, having a conversation with readers, it's actually remarkably easy to do. But you need that kind of connection, even if it's not in person. And I'll say that as an example, I'm like an introvert. So I have this studio here. I don't really do much in person nowadays. I have no in-person client meetings. I love conferences, but I haven't really been to a conference in a number of years. So I talk to so many people, and it is all while I'm sitting here by myself in a room that essentially no one else is even allowed in. And that is a marvel to me that I can connect with people and talk to people like yourself, and we can do this even though I still don't have to travel. I don't have to create some kind of, you know, become some kind of weird extrovert.
Right. No, I agree. I think actually that is one of the great things about the connected world, even though it has some other things about it I don't like, but the ability to have to be virtually together in a meaningful way. I don't mean in the kind of loosest way, which I do characterize social media as lots of very kind of loose connections that are superficial and not very meaningful, but you can have, as you're saying, many very meaningful interactions with people that are personal and one-to-one, as opposed to one-to-many, via all these communication tools that we have now, enabling people like me to do what you do, which is to work for a lot and interact with lots of people without ever leaving my house.
Well, this is the funny thing, though. So I obsess about how people found success with their creative work. It's like total 7-day-week obsession. And any story you dig into, you find that there were pivotal connections they had. Oh, my cousin's husband knew this guy and blah, blah, blah. I got my agent. Now I'm a bestseller. Or a professional connection. And I think when you ignore that, when you ignore those one-to-one connections, you're literally ignoring the one of the main ingredients of where success comes from. So I think it's a powerful thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a guy I listen to or read a lot named Bob Lefsetz, who writes about the music industry. He's a, I think he's an entertainment lawyer, and he just, he's got a certain amount of ability to just go on endlessly on many different subjects. But what's really interesting about him is he writes a lot about how do you become successful as a musician? And because they have the same issues that writers have. And, you know, part of it is endless practice. You have to practice a lot. You have to also be lucky in making those connections, just as you've described. So often it is that magical moment of being in the right place at the right time. You happen to be read by somebody who is in a position to do something with your writing. Or you find a connection just by accident. But it is a lot of it's about making the effort. You don't just sit there waiting for it to happen. You actually have to engage.
And a lot of it's about the practice of writing. I mean, this is something I talk to people a lot about, which is one of the first things I'll ask is, you know, what are you working on next? And I think that, you know, in my view, when you look at the idea of branding and marketing and social media and author platform, you know, the center to it really should be your creative process. And that's a central aspect that will not just push your work forward, but it's what people are interested in, the idea that you are working on new stuff, you're thinking about new stuff. And I like the idea of making that the center of marketing instead of feeling like marketing is competing with writing, which I think would be horrible because a writer should write.
No, that's true. Although I think that is an interesting concept because I have felt in talking to writers sometimes that they do feel that way, that marketing competes with the effort that and time needed to write. So they're jealous of it. They don't see that it, they see it as an either or, not as an integrative practice.
Yeah, it's funny. I have my own podcast where I interview a lot of writers and artists. And what I tend to find is that what people do is they preserve a certain creative time each day or each week, depending if they might have a full-time job or a whole bunch of kids or something. But that they can't write for 8 hours a day, and they protect their creative time, and then they have to get to the business time, the marketing time, the other time to it. And they're just very intentional about what needs to be done and really thinking about, it's not like they wake up with a blank slate every day. They think about when they have to create, when they have to maybe go to a day job, when they've got to get to email, when they have to query agents, whatever that is. And they treat it more like a profession, more like any other craft or industry would be. It's easy to think, a carpenter just gets to create these magical things. Like, no, a carpenter has to buy the van. They got to do the business. They got to do the advertising. They got to do customer relations. They got to do their taxes. All of these industries have that. And when you talk to people who are succeeding in it or professional, you realize, oh, they've got to make these choices as well. And it just means they have to be intentional about it. They can't just wait for the muse to arrive and then pretend that all the business marketing stuff should be handled by someone else.
Right. Well, no, I think that's a good point, except for probably the very few super successful artists and writers who can afford to hire someone else to do all that for them. There are,
it's funny,
there are a few
I
of
do
those.
Look at that though. Like I've got Neil Gaiman on my wall or J.K. Rowling, and I look at all the stuff they do that's like business growth. And I'm like, wow, like why do they bother? Why do they bother now doing this other collaboration, this other theme park, this other business venture? And they choose to do that too, where their lives are not just spent writing. Their lives are spent with all these business meetings and collaborations and just, you know, like anything else, even they choose to do it.
That's true. Well, maybe that is, you know, the social element of, you know, business is actually about relationships. Mm. It's all about relating to other people in some sort of structured way. So maybe that is why it gives them the opportunity to maintain that social connection and not become sort of disconnected from the world. Imagining themselves to be too precious. They don't want to be too precious.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. This has sort of been on my mind a little bit and thinking about your work. Do you, and maybe this has already happened, but do you ever talk to publishers in the same way that you would talk to an author? And I mean that in the sense of a publisher thinking about how their process and business practices relating to marketing authors and books could be benefited by your approach.
I do, and I have in the past. It's not something so it's something I've been brought into publishers to talk to their authors. I've done webcasts and stuff for them. So it's something that happens every now and again. And it usually comes from someone in the company wanting me to do that. So it's something I do. I certainly have a lot of offhand conversations with that, where it's one-on-one with people that I know or, you know, people in the industry. It happens relatively frequently. It's not a big part of what I seek out, though, in terms of I've done a lot of speaking at conferences, but I don't actively rush to be at every conference and to be presenting in that way. But I'm not sure if that answers the question.
No, I guess I was thinking more that, you know, is it possible to see a publisher integrating your ideas into their practice?
Definitely. Yeah, without a doubt. And I think that a lot of them have that vision and they have the caring. I mean, this is the thing that I get to see in publishing. A lot of authors or would-be authors don't, is that publishing is people. And these people care desperately about books and about writers and about authors, and that they're often just working with the finite resources. So I find when you talk one-on-one with a marketing team, a publicist, an editor, they do think about this. They do align with it. They do try to integrate it more. And the only challenge is that they're often within a big system with big deadlines, with fewer resources. But I do absolutely find that they are thinking about this type of thing and trying to have the conversation. The only thing is I think they try not to overpromise to an author because it's so easy to do that. And what they're doing often is managing expectations.
Right. Well, no, I guess one of the I guess what I was sort of, and I wasn't really clear about this, and maybe it's like a leading question, but I'm wondering if you thought about the kind of marketing approach that you describe and making it more personal effort, a more one-to-one driven system, that might cause a publisher to say, well, that would create a different approach. And how would we do that? You know, what would be the what would work for a publisher to work together with an author to implement a more directed sort of marketing approach, which would be more personal, more a lived artistic experience rather than a structured
Yeah, it's interesting because with the publisher, their focus is the book. They have, and not to diminish it by calling it a product, but that's the focus. With me, the focus is the author, the person. So my goal is to develop their skill set and their capabilities and their system to do that. I'm very focused on the author. And I think that there is a little bit of a difference in that the publisher is without question working with the author, and there's a relationship there, and they might have career authors where they have a 5-book deal. It's been 15 years they've worked together. But to ask them to kind of focus on that, they do it in some ways. I mean, that author gets the author questionnaire that asks them every question about their life. The publicity and marketing is often focused on, you know, quote unquote influencers and this idea of who do we need to know, the blurb writing process, you know, reaching out is somehow relationship driven. I think beyond that, it gets to be much more focused on the author and their capabilities and their comfort level. And again, I do think that publishers, to the best of their ability, try to do that. It just comes in of how much time they can. And every author is different with that. That's the nice thing about having someone like me, where it's, you know, in addition to the publisher for a traditional situation, is because it's another resource.
Right. No, that makes sense. Well, it's really, I think your work is really interesting, and I think it's very important. I think it's, I hope authors get a chance to hear this, because I think the ideas that underlie your work, I think are really powerful in helping people think about who they want to be, which I guess is what you're trying to do.
Indeed. Yeah. That's a big part of the idea of the creative identity. Right. Indeed.
Right. Well, thanks a lot, Dan, for talking to me and for taking some time. This has been Publishing Talks, a podcast about books, the publishing industry, and writers. I'm David Wilk, your host. I've been talking to Dan Blank of WeGrow Media. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.